Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life center style conversation and discussion, and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's.
Hey, this is Robin Misevich. I'm going to be in charge of the switchboard tonight. If anybody wants to get online and be able to be in the chat room, you can go to show at transformationcafe.com and just follow the prompts into the chat room. And we have Mr. Jamie. Mr. Jamie, you please introduce yourself tonight.
My name is Jamie Trujillo. I'm a friend of Robin's from high school. And I do tattoos for a living. I have a shop in Seattle, Washington. It's called Chromo. And I'd like to think I apply the psychic armor that people think they need, I guess. And I'm here for a nice appetizer and a nice meal and some good conversation.
Some fabulous conversation. There you go. Well, yeah.
And next
And a nectarini? Okay, yeah, we definitely want to do the nectarines because nectarines are in season, which is finally, we're finally going to be able to have some of those.
There's quite a few things in season now, I imagine, right? Because it is
nice.
A season.
Yeah, well, we are definitely in the summer. I can't believe it's July already. My gosh, I mean, this year has just been flying by. I mean, here we just had the 4th of July, and it's just been such a wonderful thing. So how was your 4th, Mr. Jamie? Did you have a good time and do something fun?
Well, you beat me to the punch. I was going to ask you how yours was. We had kind of a wet 4th of July on the 4th, the Sunday, and we went for dim sum. Mm-hmm.
That's always fun. Yeah, that's a
yeah, and then went shopping at the Japanese store in the I District and our usual. And then I came home and watched movies. And then I took the day off yesterday because everybody else did.
I've never even thought about that. I mean, living in Southern California, I don't think we've ever had a wet 4th of July.
Well, right. That's,
rained out the fireworks. That would be just kind of a downer, huh?
Well, you know, they almost didn't have the fireworks show up here because the sponsors didn't think it was had enough money for it. They kind of dropped out. But they weren't going to have one. Some local people got together, and they decided to they'll try to raise enough money. So, and they're actually taking donations for next year's. So they're kind of
there you go. That's a wonderful thing. Right. See, it just shows that, you know, every one of us can make a difference. That's awesome.
Right. Awesome. But they used to have two really big productions up here, and now they just have the one. And, of course, people are still setting off fireworks on their own, and that's kind of another thing up here.
It can be a little nerve-wracking when you start hearing all the banging going on. Yeah, yeah.
Right, especially with the animals and such, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, do they have it up there where there's just certain places that are legal, or you guys can just kind of do it wherever it's
simple? I think it's mostly illegal everywhere up here, except for the main. There might be, like, on the out of Seattle proper, it may be legal.
Or
I think they can sell them on the reservation, but a lot of times they're not legal.
Yeah, that would be interesting to find out about on the reservations. I'm sure, you know, they pretty much have their own rules out there. So that would be interesting to see how that all goes along. So, yeah,
right.
The 4th of July was kind of interesting. My daughters are both really involved in the anime, and the LA convention was actually this last weekend. So she was down there for the 4 days, and she's actually got a company called Muku Charms, and she was there showing her polymer creations and stuff that she does that are based on some of the Japanese characters and things like that. And she had some props and things like that she was selling as well, some keys and things like that. So she was kind of busy working and having a good time at the same time. She took a couple friends with her, and they had a really good time. So, my friend and I went to go pick her. Actually, Kathy, who's normally runs our switchboard, her and I went and picked the kids up, and we went to Chinatown for a little while. in L.A., so that was really kind of a fun thing to do. So we were there before the fireworks all started, but we did have a really good time. And, gosh, I don't think I've ever had it in my life where I went from Chinatown all the way over to her place. We just flew on the freeway. There was nobody on the freeway. It was fabulous.
Right.
It was like a ghost town on the freeway. We're like, oh, my God, this is a special occasion. So it was an act of God. Fireworks are God. I don't know, something like that. It was very, very interesting. So we have all kinds of things that I have set up for the menu tonight. So let's go ahead and get started. I think kind of in honor of the heat wave, we're just going to go ahead and do a lot of light meals and stuff like that. Because once we kind of get into the East Coast and their heat wave, kind of reviewing what's been going on with the Earth update, one thing that we're going to talk about was the five ways to cool off, unusual ways to cool off. And one of them, just to get us started, says that you shouldn't eat any heavy meals when it's hot, because it actually puts extra energy into your metabolism, and it causes you to actually get overheated, or you actually keep the temperature a little higher in your body because it's having to work harder to process your food. So one thing it said was kind of a lightweight. So I'm thinking we could get some lettuce wraps and, you know, just get some lightweight salad stuff. With
me. Nice, cool salad.
Yeah, some nice, cool stuff. How's that sound?
That sounds good.
Okay, we'll go ahead and send that off to the menu. So, Mr. Jamie, what is happening on the Earth update here?
Well, I guess it's like day 78, I think, of the oil blowout there. They think they had a giant tanker-like skimmer that they brought in, the world's largest, but they haven't used it, or it hasn't been able to be used because of the weather. And I know that there haven't been very much info lately other than they are drilling those relief wells to try to kill, I guess, that top kill thing where they pump the slurry in the mud and then try to seal it. But they're saying that may happen not until August, but I think they're closer than they think. But they're not really sure until they haven't said very much, let's say.
I think they're trying to keep it really quiet because, I mean, I saw a thing on the news earlier this week that was saying that the initial estimates of how much was actually being discharged was a lot more than they anticipated, which was quite a bit anyway.
Oh, of course. They underestimated from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I know they have quite a operation. I saw today something about the, they call it the hive. I guess that's where all the BP engineers work. And they were talking about their submersibles, which are the remote-controlled robotic machines that that do all the work on the bottom. They had like 12 or 13 of them. And so I guess they said that's the most concentrated they'd ever been anywhere as far as using these submersibles.
Yeah, that's one reason why James Cameron got involved, because of all of the work he had done with Titanic through the research and things like that, and really got involved with that whole submarine community. That that's another reason why he got involved with it, and was just trying to offer their support and giving them ideas where they could brainstorm to figure out other alternative things that they could be doing with the film.
And I know they said the oil itself has now hit all the Gulf states, like on to the shores. Right. And I think they said it went to Lake Pontchartrain. It showed up in Lake Pontchartrain in New Orleans. So that's the tar balls, whatever they said. That's kind of the very first thing that shows up.
Mm-hmm.
I know they haven't said very much. They're trying to keep anything kind of more secretive. So, and this thing could last another month or so until they even explain what they're going to do.
Yeah, so they haven't even
That's
talked about
all I know. That's about all I know as far as what they report. I don't know about they're still sucking the, you know, they have some sort of containment going, and they're still trying to suck up as much as they can.
Yeah.
And I think they either refine it or they transfer it once it's to the surface. And then, or else they burn off anything else. But again, they BP has been very tight, or haven't said very much this last week or so about anything. Other than that, I know that they're The volcano hasn't really been in the news. I guess that would be if there
was
several.
Do we know?
I don't think so. Of course, I haven't checked.
It was quiet? Okay.
I think it's been quiet. I know that the heat wave back east is, it's been like in its second week, or this is the start of the second week, I believe. It's been over 100 degrees on the east coast. Seattle finally got its first 79-degree weather day after I don't know how long.
Yeah.
They broke, and then I think we're going to get a little heat up here, but not like back east. That's a lot different temperature index.
Well, you guys are right there on the you're up right
on
there.
On the Puget Sound, right, yeah.
Yeah, so you've got a nice breeze coming off of the water right there.
Well, most of the time.
Yeah. So that's okay. But, yeah, I definitely want to pray for everybody back east so that they get the comfort that they need. And we've got some ideas for you. I got online, and there were some unusual ways that you can keep yourself cool. I thought we could pass those along. Some of them make sense, and other ones were kind of surprising to me. I went, oh, really? Okay, well.
Well, you already mentioned one. What would the other ones be?
Okay, well,
not eat a large meal, right?
We don't want to eat a large meal, that's for sure. And I mean, it's the typical standbys to say to make sure that your air conditioner filters are clean and you've got your weather stripping on your windows, the drapes are closed during the heat of the day, things like that. And then avoid using that heat creating appliances like your ovens and dryers and things like that.
Oh, right, yeah.
High level of the day and stuff like that. But, you know, it goes in saying, you know, it needs to be reviewed. But then the first one they say is to go tropical, and they said lightweight clothing that's loose and, you know, the cottons and the linens and things like that.
So oh, right. Exactly, right.
Kind of comfortable for you. So, yeah, I could definitely tell that. You know, we don't want the spandex going on. That's not like, woo, no spandex. That's a heat generator if we ever had one. Okay.
That'll make you sweat.
Yeah, exactly. Even on a, you know, even on.
I don't think I've ever worn spandex.
Well, there you go. You know, you should never say never. There you go. Because if you're working out and stuff like that, most of the workout pants and stuff like they have for exercising and stuff, they usually have some level of a blend that has spandex in it.
Right. I might use like neoprene, but as a support for like an elbow or a knee, and that gets pretty sweaty.
Go.
But that's just very, that's
yeah,
just more
so it's
brave.
Very similar to something like that, too. So
right.
We'll never say never on that one. So, yeah, we might get you in some tight, you know, never say never. Okay. Another one was to cool off your pulse. And they say that, you know, it's the cold compress that would be like either on your forehead or your face. And I was thinking whenever I've gone hiking and things like that, taking a handkerchief or something like that and soaking it with a little bit of cool water and putting it on the back of your neck, that can really keep you very cool. It's a very good trick.
I think the back of the neck and then like where your wrist, if you put your wrist together and have something cold there, that'll cool you off too.
Yeah,
kind of where your pulse
like
is.
Yeah, the same thing. Anywhere you can feel your pulse, that's basically where you want to cold to help it cool off. Now, women who wear her, you know, when you have these little heat flashes, you get a southern glow going on. One thing that I've heard for women is taking a couple ice cubes and actually put it between your breasts. It helps to cool you off, too. So there you go.
That would probably work.
Yeah, because it's definitely, it puts your mind on something else, you definitely get a cool breeze that kind of cools you off. So that was a couple different things that they said. And making sure that you stay hydrated. You know, water is always really important that, you know, you're on, you've got it on you, but you're also making sure that you have it in you, because it's amazing how much the body will sweat, you know, and how much body you go through when you're basically sweating. Yeah, that's really good. And then, you know, number three, again, which we talked at the top of the hour with our lettuce wraps and fruit, making sure that you're eating very light, and they said to graze. You want to graze more than have, like, a heavy meal. It should just be lightweight stuff, and you're just kind of grazing during the day. Sounds pretty good. It's actually a better way to do it anyway for just eating in general. You're finding that those heavy meals just sit there and the body doesn't know what to do with it because it's just so much richer process better to graze a little bit and have some lightweight that you work on. That's good. Also eating slower, too. Having something
masticate.
Shoved into your body, yeah. You know, I got to learn how to do that one. I'm a very fast eater, but there you go.
We're kind of program. I mean, when you're kids or something, you have to eat quick because you only have 10 minutes.
Well, yeah, you know, I've got four sisters in my family, so, you know, it's
right.
If you're gonna grab it, or it's going to be gone, okay?
Right.
And then they said, and they also said, eat to sweat. They said spicy foods help you to sweat. So a lot of the, like Indian and some of these places where they have the hot mustards and things like that, it's Capsaicin is a chemical that's found in hot peppers, and it says it also helps like the skin to keep damp once you start sweating. It's that constant level of evaporation, and it's also good for your heart and all different kinds of stuff. It just really helps your circulatory system to have something a little bit spicy, as hot as you can take it.
So right.
And I guess the jury's kind of out between some scientists, because some say yes and some say no about it. But I mean, all you have to do is just talk to somebody who we sit on a regular basis, and you'll know what's going on.
And just don't rub your eyes after that.
No. Oh my gosh. Keep it out of any of the any openings there. You don't want to have anything there.
Right.
Yeah. And then the last one was to stay cooler under the covers. They said to take your sheets and put them in the freezer a couple hours before you want to go to bed.
There's our old freezer trick again.
Talk about some cold cheese. Woo! Or they said another thing you could do is to take a regular water, hot water bottle, like a regular, you know, standard water bottle. Put ice cubes in that, and then actually set it at your ankles or in the back of your knees. And
wow.
Too. Yeah, so that was actually kind of a cool idea. I said, yeah, you know, cool and cool. So there you go.
Doesn't cool everything off.
Yeah, it cools everything off. Yeah, it's like you're saying, just any kind of area where you could probably feel your pulse on the back of your knees too. So there you go. That's another place you can do that kind of stuff. So just some alternatives, a little bit different things that you can do with your, keeping yourself cool for the heat wave that they have going on there. So And that's one thing, a little bit in Southern California, we're all kind of looking at each other going, wow, it's a lot cooler than it normally is. We're used to that 100 degrees every day for a while, although it gets really tiring to have that going on. But anyway, it's something that we're used to dealing with, because it was, gosh, at least for a couple decades, it was always up by the 4th of July. It was 100, and it'd be 100 probably for a whole month. You know, we had that.
Well, you know, another thing is when you have a extreme, like, temperature change, people aren't acclimated to that sometimes. And then need to kind of build up that endurance or tolerance, I guess, you know.
Yeah, and another thing, too, is just the humidity. I mean, that's one thing. It's so different out here that we're dry enough that we don't have that humidity every day, and the humidity can just tire you up so quickly. Yeah. I have a couple other friends I've talked to in the past couple of days back there, and they're just like going, gosh, if it just wasn't humid, it wouldn't be so bad. Because I think
right.
100% humidity and 100 degrees outside, that's just not good. Not good for anybody.
I think that's what they say. It's not the humidity. It's not the humidity. It's not the humidity. It's not the humidity. It's the humidity.
There you go. There you go. Okay. Just as a sideline, too, one thing we realized over the weekend while we were taking Kate and her friends over to Anime, that Canada has a new thing that they're doing where they're affecting the Internet. They have some new regulations that they put through I think it has to do with the pop-ups and things like that for Internet stuff. And they put some things out there for protection that are going through the Canada stuff with all their different connections for Internet. And what it's doing is it's also affecting, at least I know for California and pretty much the West Coast of the United States is being affected by that, because the fact that a lot of the satellites and stuff are not getting activated or not making it where we can also have easy access kind of thing. And I didn't realize it, but he was telling us that, I guess in Australia, they kind of go through Australia, and that's kind of like the open gate for a lot of Internet connections.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very interesting to kind of hear about that and kind of see how the Aussies is kind of look the other way, I guess, for Internet access. So you know any more about that?
Me? No, I don't. I haven't heard about that.
Yeah. Okay. Because we were trying to get access on the Internet and stuff, and we were actually just using our GPS systems and stuff like that, and they were kind of acting up a little bit. And so he was bypassing. He knows how to do some different stuff with his stuff. He was, believe it or not, on his iPhone and just doing all different kinds of stuff. This kid's pretty amazing, but he was just like learning on this stuff.
It just came out with a new iPhone, the iPhone 4, but I don't I'm not that technically savvy, I guess.
They're saying there's problems with that phone because of the way that the antennas, the way it picks up the signal, it, depending on how you pull the phone, it's not going to see the signal. So it's limiting.
Yeah, I think they were surprised that there was such a big glitch with that type of phone.
Yeah, because it's like
brand new, the other
providers are all bragging that, you know, you can pick up our phone any way you want to, and you're not going to lose the signal.
Right.
They might have to do a recall on that, depending what they have going on for different people, for different stuff like that. So, another funny thing that I saw this week was 21 things you should never buy new, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Hmm.
So it says find out how to save big or at least not get ripped off in the process. And basically what this this article was saying was all these different ways that you can be buying used, and a lot of it makes sense, but a lot of it I was excited to see was a lot of it going green and having it be where, you know, we're really taking care of the things that we do have and making sure they get utilized to a full event. So,
oh, right, of course.
I thought going through some of these would be interesting. They were saying DVDs and CDs, you're better off just getting them used because there's so many ways that you can repair the scratches nowadays that it's not really, you know, it's necessary to get something brand new out of the box kind of a thing. I thought that was
well, true.
And I think downloads nowadays, I mean, most of the time.
I know, a lot of times people just download it and they don't have to pay for a CD. Or if they could find it for free or cheaper on you know, they put it into their iTunes, and then I guess it goes to their iPod so they can listen
right.
to.
And
then, of course,
being able to download to the iPad, I think, and also with, iPad. I think that's true. I'm not sure about the iPad. But I know with iTunes and your phone and things like that, a lot of stuff can get downloaded to where you really don't even need to get, a hard copy on a DVD or CD kind of a thing.
Well, you know, that's why the record and the CD, well, the recording industry, they're trying to make inroads about the internet and the sales on the internet. So there's
mm-hmm.
definitely a decline in retail sales, I think. I see.
Well, they're just going to have to find other ways that you know, it automatically gets any kind of an access to something like that. There's money to get
right.
for value on that kind of stuff, too.
And, you know, a lot of the music today, they're not making music for music's sake. They're making music, I mean, like anybody else. They're trying to make music so they could sell it or license it, and it's mostly for soundtracks or TV shows or movies or video games or anything else they can license, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It's just really interesting to see how everything's going, how the Internet's really affecting a lot of, you know, the standard stuff from when we were younger with records and things like that. But nowadays, you know, it's the access to get stuff is just so, I mean, you could be in the right place in the right time and you're recording off some kind of a device and you've got it. It's
right.
a matter of having it to where you have to get it from just the original source and things like that. So, second was books, with you know, going to, like, all the different places where you can get used books with Amazon and things like that. Which I totally buy most of my books used. You know, why not? And I mean, sometimes
right.
they're brand new, but they're already being moved to secondhand stores because of the amount of just circulation or something that a book has been getting or not getting. Usually, can get a brand new book and kind of like used and used publications instead, kind of thing. So that's really good. Like I said, a lot of this stuff is just really good for helping the planet and keeping it to where we're definitely in the different levels of just green conscious. And I mean, almost all of these things are great too, because it's you can have swap parties on so many of these things. Where I know there's other websites where if you want to have a bunch of books available, gosh, I wish I had the name of the website. I had a friend tell me about this a couple months ago. You go online and you list all the different books you have available, and they list their books, and basically you say, "Can I borrow this book?" And you basically get it, and you just mail it to each other. You just, you know, swapping books through the mail kind of thing. So it can really happen anywhere. Most of the mail stuff is pretty inexpensive nowadays. I know most of the stuff you can send for under $5 and have it shipped over to somebody else. So that's pretty cool. Another thing was video games. And they were saying if you can hold out and be patient, usually within like a month of a new game coming out, it's basically all the gamers have already gone through it and they've got it back into the 16, you know, new game kind of thing happening. So are you a video game player, Mr. Jamie?
Not so much. I like, we have the Wii, and
mm-hmm.
that's a little interactive, but I get stuck on certain things, and I use it to exercise, but I'm not like a gamer, which I've seen on TV, and like where they play the shooting games, and
mm-hmm.
like,
mm-hmm.
you could really get heavily involved in that, but
oh, yeah.
No, I'll play a little bit, and I'll just like what I like, though.
Okay, there you go. Well,
yeah.
You know, I'm kind of one of those typical people that it was a little after my time, so I just, like, who has time to play a video game? Okay, anyway. I was like, I've got so many other things to do. So, but
right.
my daughters are both gamers, and they're very good at it.
All right. So the anime was a convention?
The anime was the convention. It's one of the, it's actually Japanese animation. And
right, right. So did she dress up as a character?
Oh yeah, she was. She did three different costumes.
Wow.
Yeah, she was.
Wow.
Part of, with Team Rocket. She was in one of the black outfits with Team Rocket. When that was with Pikachu and all that stuff, she was Team Rocket girl. And
oh wow.
So I'm trying to think of the other shoes. There's a couple other outfits that she did. So yeah, she did. You know, that's part of the fun of going to something like that. It's kind of like
she make the outfits as well, I imagine, right?
She made two of them, and the other one she had it custom ordered because part of it she wanted to just have it made a certain way. So she went ahead and, you know, and that's just part of being in that community. There's people who do the outfits and things like that. So she actually,
well, you know, they have a convention up here once a year, and it's like
yeah,
24 hours a day.
Yeah, coming up on Memorial Day weekend.
They do have a pretty large one, and people come from all over the place just to go to this thing. And
yep.
Believe it or not, they have it goes on for 24 hours a day, and it's like three or four straight days. Because you'll end up going downtown, and you'll see some crazy people, and like, oh, they're looking more crazy than normal around here.
It's a good part of anime, yeah, exactly.
Right.
You know, the people. It looks like Halloween when they're just dressing up like the characters. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I went for one of the days last year, and it was definitely an experience.
Do you feel out of place? Not dressed up as a character.
there's more dressed up than not. So
right.
I was kind of dressed up as like, well, I was wearing like tie dye outfit or something like that. So I had kind of colorful clothes on. So which I
yeah.
did. Fine, just fine. If I had a weird hat and some glasses, I probably would have been, you know, in tune with everything. So it's just, like I said, it's just kind of fun because it's that fantasy that you get to do two or three times a year. So it works out really good. So it's just kind of a fun thing. It's a fun thing. A safe environment for them just to kind of have fun and do something with it. So,
right.
Number four was special occasion outfits like wedding dresses and tuxedos and things like that. They said lots of times you can go to having clothing swapping parties and having your friends and things like that, and you can exchange with or do some kind of a value exchange on things like that. So it's because most times the people, especially when it's something formal like that, a lot of people take really good care of it. So it's just a matter of finding somebody who has your size, being able to trade something out. So, you know, not too many people want to buy a brand new dress and then only wear it once, that kind of thing. So it's just very, very interesting. So, one was also getting a pet, going to the Humane Society, go to the, you know, the shelters and getting things like that. And one of the ones I thought was really cool was crafting supplies and having, like, a craft swapping party where, you know, sometimes you'll have projects where you had to buy your supplies and you always have leftovers. So all the different leftovers you have, get it together with a few other artists and basically see all the different stuff that you have. So that's kind of, I thought that was kind of a fun thing.
So do you do the scrapbooking?
I do not.
Do you know somebody who does?
Yeah, I probably have a couple people that I know that do that. One of my sisters does, and I've had a few girlfriends that do stuff like that too. But
that's quite an art, I guess. There's quite like a
art. And it's really expanded, and the creativity has just gotten that much neater with all the different stuff that they have online and exchanging and just all the digital work that you can do with stuff like that. And it's really kind of fun with different kinds of things. So, but, you know, just like anything else, it's always been working with papers and colors and textures and things like that. Really
right.
Yeah. Yeah. They're very cool. So we want to keep going on this or we want to switch gears? How about we want to talk about the movie? I have a movie.
Sure.
Okay.
Although I did see it, though.
You did see it?
Oh, no, I didn't. We were going to, and then we saw... Are you talking about the Airbender?
Airbender, yeah.
The Last Airbender?
Are you familiar with the story?
Yeah, we watched the cartoon quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
The cartoon is really good.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, we like the characters, and it's very well done.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't, I have to reserve judgment. Maybe we'll rent it, but we read a bad review, so I guess that kind of put us off.
Well, I think a lot of it is just I enjoyed the animated version of it, you know, with the different
right.
series. I didn't watch every one of them, But right. The ones that I did, I really enjoyed it. So, and I knew enough about the characters that I enjoyed it. And I thought the special effects were just fabulous.
And it is M. Night Shyamalan, too.
Right, right.
Was he in there somewhere?
If he was, I didn't notice.
He usually makes a point of putting himself in his movies.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't really looking for him, so I couldn't really tell you.
Okay.
He probably was, but yeah. So it was just really good, and I enjoyed it. But like we were talking about that afterwards when we got out of the movie. We're like, well, if you don't really, if you're not up on the series and know the characters a little bit before you went to go see something like that, you would either not feel connected to it or not really know what was going on. So
right.
You know, so I don't know. I thought it was good and I enjoyed it, but I'm also a fan of that. So, you know, I kind of.
But they also call him an avatar, but he's not like the James Cameron avatar, right? That's a whole different thing.
Right. But originally they called him Avatar before James Cameron did the whole Avatar.
Right.
Which I think is interesting. So that's the reason why they're calling it the Airbender, because he's the last of the Airbender. Which means, and just for our listeners, it's a matter of. The principle of the movie was that there were certain people within each tribe of the different elements, which would be air, fire, water, and earth. And there's also metal, but, you know, it kind of goes along with the feng shui traditions of balancing all the different elements of the earth. And you would really only have one of those that you would have as pretty much a gift that you could basically utilize for assisting your people and being in a world sensing. And the Avatar was the only one who was able to have all the elements and be able to utilize that to basically for mankind and keeping it in the place of balance. He was basically like a superhero because he was protecting
right.
Because of those different elements and things like that. So.
Better late than never.
Oh. There we go. Hey, Miss Marveen. How are you?
Guess who was... just dealing in TV land and not thinking.
Oh, well, that's okay. I'm glad you decided to come on over. You're just looking for dessert.
Well, you know, I like dessert. Cheesecake.
Yes, I know you do love dessert. Cheesecake. Well, I think we should get some. We were talking about the heat wave, and we were going through the five unusual ways to keep cool. And one of the things it said was that it's very important to not have any heavy meals when it's hot because it actually – causes your metabolism to work harder, and it causes your body to heat up because it's working so hard.
That makes sense.
We're all kind of hanging out with all the lightweights and things like that. I think we need to do a big snow cone. How about that? We'll do a snow cone, and then we'll put the fruit on it and put a big thing of sauce on it. That would be good.
What was the thing you had with strawberries that was giant? Let's have one of those.
Yeah.
And where are you going to put it?
I don't know.
Well, you know, if you put it on any pulse points, it's going to cool you off. So, you know, we're just going to keep ourselves cool, so it's okay.
But, you know, they do. They put bags of ice under your armpits to cool you down,
yeah.
And like, for heat stroke and things.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I think
anywhere
is...
that you can get a pulse. You can get a pulse under your arm, so there you go. We were saying, like, on the back of your neck or your forehead or your wrist or... they were even saying under your, behind your knees and then on your ankles were all places that you could cool off pretty quick.
See, that makes sense because the blood flows through all of those places because it centers in those areas.
Right, right, yeah.
Does that make
sense?
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like if in some of the energy practices of like Tai Chi and things like that, putting your hands in under your arms and basically swinging your energy is a real good balancer for the body. So that makes sense because you're basically going to the core energy of your body or something like that. And you can even, like, under your knees or putting your hands into your arms, you know, your between your arms kind of thing. Put your hands in your armpits. There you go. It works really good for you. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
So we were just finishing our review of my review of Airbender. And Jamie said he hadn't been able to go see it yet, but I actually had talked to Marveen about that the other day about what it was and all that. And there was a
I saw the teasers and it looks great.
Yes, it is really, really good. Yeah, I would be interested to see Marveen see it because Jamie is familiar with the animated series. So it would be interesting for you to see it to see if you're keeping up with it and what you think about it. So maybe we could do that again when you guys have a chance to see it. We'll kind of review it again. So that's a cool thing. So it's just really, really good. So let me see. The next thing we were going to talk about was I had come across a really wonderful CD program called UltraCom, and I thought it was kind of cute because one of the things it was talking about was the vagus nerve. And
Vegas, the vagus what?
The vagus nerve.
Okay, got
nerve
it.
Of the body, yeah. And one of the things he was saying was that it has to do with, it's an actual nerve that starts up at your hypothalamus, it's the top of your head, and it all goes all the way to your diaphragm. So it's this nerve that connects the top of your head through your skull, through your neck, and then down into your diaphragm. And it actually, it sends out a message that helps to slow down your heartbeat. So it's one of those things that actually helps us to get in a more balanced place, getting away from the fight and flight when it comes to being able to be less stressed and having ourselves be in a place where we can be more at ease with everything. And I thought it was just really cool. I thought I'd kind of bring that up for our listeners to kind of know that there's just really simple ways that you can slow down your breath and your heartbeat and come from just a place of more of a life-giving activities and having really good energy.
Which is in and of itself another form of meditation or reconnection with your higher source.
Exactly. So it's kind of in that getting in it to kind of just a slower, mindful place, being in the now, being in a place that's just more like a witness to yourself. And
yeah.
One of the things that the doctor who put it together was Mark Hyman, and he's a doctor. And before he became a doctor, he was a yoga teacher. I thought that was kind of interesting. So coming from yoga, and then he moved into the medical profession. But one thing go ahead.
Is he practicing holistic?
Yes.
In other words, he's dealing with
the
whole body and
stuff. Mm-hmm. He does a whole body medicine. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I thought, too, was really interesting, he also worked with Dr. Dean Ornish. If you guys are familiar with Dean Ornish, he was revolutionary in using meditation and mindfulness for reversing heart disease.
Right.
Yeah, Dr. Ornish really got into showing people this just through diet and, mindful practice of yoga and different things like that. You could reverse heart disease. The people wasn't necessarily a terminal condition to have something like that when you can learn how to quiet yourself down and get in there. So one of the things that Dr. Mark talks about is doing five for five every day, and that's five deep breaths five times a day. So he says you get up in the morning, you breathe five times very deeply. So you count to five, inhale, and count to five, exhale, and put yourself in just kind of a quiet state and do that, your five breaths. And then he said mid-morning, you do it again. Do your five and five. At lunchtime, five and five. In the afternoon, five and five, and before you go to bed. I'm like, well, God, that doesn't sound like too hard. He says he's had patients who said that they couldn't do that because that was too hard. Yeah.
But you know what?
Really?
I think a lot of people misinterpret some of these things, or they think that they're so far out there, and yet if we take some of the labels, some of the words that they associate with them. Deep breathing makes sense. I mean, even when you're in school and you're training, they want you to work up a sweat, and they want you to breathe deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
And with obviously the inward breath is the outward breath, and what that does is it activates a lot of things within the central nervous system and the respiratory system, which helps it to remain in a healthy state.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens a lot of times is people get caught in a lot of these labels, and they don't they don't connect it with something that truly is very natural to the body. It's just something that somebody else is calling it.
Right. And one thing that I learned, because I've done yoga, for about 15 years now, and one thing that surprised me when I first learned about doing breath work was that it's actually the exhale first and then the inhale. Because think about it, when you're born, you actually exhale. You don't inhale. You go, do that kind of thing, and then you're going to breathe in kind of thing. So our natural breath actually breathes out before we breathe in. So there you go. Kind of interesting. So what do you think about that, Mr. Jamie?
Did we lose him? Jamie, are you there?
Is he there? Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. There he is.
I'm right here.
Okay.
Where did you
did
go?
You
we
my,
you.
I have an old phone that it cut out on me, and then I finished my dinner.
Oh.
But I'm back now. I had a couple
okay,
of
so I don't
left.
I don't feel so bad about television. Now, what did you have for your main course?
Yeah, what was dinner?
Oh, we had some soup.
Oh, cool. You know, soup sometimes on a nice evening is just comforting.
It was just right, and it is comfort food, yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Made with love.
Yep.
Yeah, comfort food is awesome. I love comfort food.
Yeah. No comment.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think we all do.
I think, yeah. Everybody
and comfort
does. I mean,
food, and I think comfort food is indigenous to the people.
Yeah.
Depending on their perception.
Uh-huh.
So for some it might be fruit, for some it might be, and let's just narrow it into the soup. For some it might be a nice creamy potato soup. For others it might be chicken noodle soup.
Mm-hmm.
And any variations.
Mm-hmm.
And subsequently, so there is something out there for everybody if they just are open to it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And hungry enough.
Well, that too.
Well, I know one thing that when we had 9/11, one thing that I did was I made everybody's favorites. A couple nights after that happened, I had everybody's favorites. We had a whole table full of food, and oh my gosh, it was just such a special evening for all of us because it was just being together and enjoying everything. You know what I mean? So
well, yeah. and shock.
Yes, exactly. Just being together and just being so grateful that we were, you know, kind of a thing. But food is just such an important part of life that it's no wonder that that we all recognize that on some level. Because, I mean, if you think about it, on some of your best moments, if you think about it, have been surrounded by food in some way. It's affected that moment, you know. So, there you go.
Or you have good memories of a particular meal or when you were younger, maybe, or something.
Mm-hmm. It's those memories of, you know, your mom or like I said, a special event.
Or when you first ate something that was new and that tasted good. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Or it tasted bad.
Or it tasted bad, yeah. And not to eat that again.
Well, it's just like our smell and taste is two of the most intense senses that we have. And if they're saying that, you know, scent is such a powerful thing that you can have a fragrance and then only maybe smell it once in your life, but if it's significant to a moment, you're going to go right back to that moment again because the brain connects it along with memory.
Do you know what one of your senses slows down first after you eat?
Your taste?
Nope. Your hearing.
Your hearing?
Yeah.
Well, then Jamie's not going to be hearing too good, huh? Okay.
What? Say something? What did you say?
Yeah,
I learned that a while back, and I thought it was really strange, but it is.
That, you know, that explains a lot when we're having our regular, you know, Transformation Cafe by about now, you know. We got, like, what, the 15 minutes left we've been eating, and I mean, everybody's like, what?
So do you have any way of telling whether or not the show is growing, or you've got...
Oh, sure. We've got people listening in, and actually we always have people in the chat rooms and stuff. So actually, that's, I'm glad you're reminding me. I have a couple shout-outs, too. We have a couple people in Australia who listen in, so that's pretty exciting.
Welcome.
So we usually get little messages from that. Yes, exactly. And we've got four or five people that are regulars that in Southern California that are letting themselves be known on a regular basis, too. So
oh, that's awesome.
Very appreciative of them as well.
That's
awesome.
It's going to be interesting because, you know, as we grow, I think some of the topical information that we're doing will expand. And I think the perspective from the three or four of us is it's an interesting balance.
Yeah, it is an interesting balance.
And I love having Jamie here because the masculine balance is really important, too.
And he did such a good job with that.
Yes, you do. Yes, he does. Are you blushing? Are you blushing, Jamie?
Oh, well.
I did that one pretty well,
right,
didn't
there.
I?
Yeah, yeah.
I think he was speechless. That doesn't happen often.
Well, you know, we first started the show, there wasn't anybody else on. Oh, we just dropped him again. He just dropped off again.
Is he blushing?
I don't know. I guess he's blushing. He's like, okay,
I'm maybe we should send him a new phone.
I think so. Gosh, he's got an old
yeah.
phone.
But, you know, I think the beauty is as the people get used to tying all this together in their day-to-day life, the more meaningful it becomes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because so many people are in such a hurry most of the time that they eat, but they don't take the time truly to taste and appreciate what they're eating or to taste and say, oh, I don't really care for this. Is Jamie back?
Yeah, I'm back. My phone, I lean on it too hard, and
no,
I think I was blushing so much that I took my phone off.
There you go. I love it.
She's like, we made a blessing. He's not going to get off the call. Okay.
Oh,
so,
God. And I love a man
I was
with a sense of humor. I noticed that was past tense, huh?
I was bashful. Yes.
I was bashful, right. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the neat part is if people start, and I've been really focusing on this last few days about what's going on in the earth, and it's amazing because sometimes and more often than not we are so far out of touch with our feeling because our thinking gets in the way. And our thinking takes us to many places that we don't need or want to be, and we're not even aware we're doing it. Comes in the form of fear. It comes in the form of looking at things that have happened in the past. It comes in the form of comparing. Okay, for example, let's take soup or cheesecake.
I think I take the cheesecake. Okay.
Okay. I'll take them both, please.
Okay.
Okay,
then
you want them both. Okay.
But
I'll have one of each.
You might go to one place or have one experience. I'm going to kind of tie this together. And that place and that experience just might be really, really, really bad and it didn't taste good at all. So you go to the next place, another experience, and what happens is you remember that first experience and subsequently it's like, oh, this is not going to be good. And if we resonate or if we beat the drum of this is not going to be good or I don't want it, what happens is we recreate it instead of saying, no, you know what, I've changed, this is different, this is a different location, this is a different person, this is a different chef, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And give it a shot, and it's like, wow, this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
This is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's those kinds of things, and regardless of whether it's food or relationship or job, one way or another, in many respects, it seems to tie together. If we can objectively look at it. Because there's a lot of people out there that are thinking, how can you tie food to spirituality, to life experience, to anything else? And for me, the question back is, how can you not?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, the breaking of bread, you know.
Exactly.
It's just totally, you know, it's a spiritual experience. Yeah, exactly. So, you know.
And Jamie used an interesting word when he was describing the soup, because one of the words he used, which is unusual for a man, and I want to point that out, is that he said it was made with love.
Aww.
And that's
isn't
big.
That really unusual? I don't know. There's so many more guys that like to cook nowadays. I know. Do you like to cook, Jamie?
Well, you know, I used to actually cook when I was in Holbrook. That was at the steakhouse. I was actually I learned professionally, you know, just whatever they had there. And I cooked before, and I'm not really I don't have a kitchen like and a special thing I'll do, but I know enough to cook and stuff.
Okay.
I'm going to cook myself, but
I
usually don't do the cooking. I'm the eater.
I will
eat 99.9% of the food that's put down in front of me. I will eat, and with the exception of the hamburger helper of Philly cheesesteak,
okay,
isn't too good.
Is that one of your favorites? Okay.
Oh no, it's not.
No, couldn't you tell by the way he says it? But you know, I think what I really noticed is I wasn't referring necessarily to food. I was referring more to the acknowledgement of the feeling that went into it.
Oh, of course. It's always made with love, most of
okay.
the time.
And that's for someone to really be able to take the time to acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, it's amazing when you do go to a restaurant, you can tell the difference in the way the food is prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not. And you can, and everything, if we could get more in touch with feeling, I believe that we have the ability to open up so many doors to greater happiness.
Mm-hmm.
But because of past experience or because of any number of other things, we don't want to try that new restaurant. We don't want to try that new thing. What was that?
It was a cat.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was one of the cats I was playing with.
Oh, that's okay. I thought somebody was screaming.
No, it was one of Jamie's babies.
Ah!
One of Jamie's babies. such a great idea. Ah! Okay, yeah.
Wow, you can hear that.
Say, you know?
Yeah, we can hear them now. Yeah, we can totally hear them now.
Oh, my gosh.
The advantages of new technology. Here you go. At its finest. Here you go. That's good.
Well, and that's also, it's about awareness.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I have our after-dinner mint. So
okay.
Anxiety
Let's go.
Is the dizziness of freedom.
Say it again.
Anxiety is the dizziness of freedom.
Now, who said that?
Kierkegaard.
Who?
Say it again, because I need to absorb that. Say it one more time, please.
Anxiety is the dizziness of freedom.
Oh, for some reason.
I'll go with that.
I got a new one for you.
Okay, give us another one.
Yeah, because I'm still lost in that one.
We're going to double dip.
Let's go for that. Yeah, we're going to double dip. Let's
that was a short one. We got another short one.
Actually, I have a really great story if you want a good story. Here's a good story.
Okay.
A scientist traveled halfway around the world to ask a Hindu sage what he thought about their theory.
About their what?
About their theory.
Okay.
Scientists and their theories. When they arrived, he kindly brought them into his garden and poured them tea. So the two teacups were full. The sage kept pouring. The tea kept flowing, and the scientist politely but awkwardly said, "Your Holiness, the cup can hold no more." The sage stopped pouring and said, "Your minds are like these cups. You know too much. Empty your minds and come back, and then we will talk."
Oh, well done.
There you go.
And then he showed him the door.
Bye-bye. No.
You know what? I think sometimes we're way too filled with intellect.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Big time.
Well, and a part of that, too, is reminding me of the gift of listening. You know, am I thinking of my wonderful comeback, or am I really taking in what somebody's saying to me before I respond? Because sometimes we're not even listening. Unless you've ate a lot and you're really thinking about what you want to say, you're not really listening to that person. So, you know, we've got control here. So
had to go there, didn't you?
Yeah, I did have
Four.
To go.
Or you only speak when you have something to say that's well thought out instead of just talking to hear yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know people that do that too. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and sometimes it's amazing when you just surrender to that moment and allow yourself to just respond instead of react. Because to me,
right.
reacting, you were definitely reacting when you're thinking of the next witty thing you should be saying instead of just letting yourself be inspired and have something come forward from just, you know, from spirit and have that kind of come and witness to whatever needs said in that moment. It's amazing because you're like, wow, did I say that? That was pretty good. I don't know where that came from, but it was pretty dang good. So there you go. I always love speakers that kind of have a very skeleton structure of what they want to talk about, and then they just go from thing to thing. Because through their wisdom and things they've learned and all that. So, Marvin, do you do that? Do you kind of just have a skeleton of what you want to talk about and then just kind of be guided to what you're going to do next? Or?
Well, sometimes it's a skeleton, and sometimes it's not even that. It's just the dust.
Yeah.
A lot of times when I'm getting ready to go do a lecture, I don't know what I'm going to talk about until I'm on my way there. Because
mm-hmm.
I think what happens for me, at least, is I tune in to the people and the audience. And every audience is different. I remember one lecture I was going out on, and I didn't have a clue what I was going to talk about, and I had to drive. It was a half-hour drive, and all of a sudden the word depression popped into my head, and I saw
mm-hmm.
it separate. I saw the word DE, which is of, and
mm-hmm.
press, which is pressure,
mm-hmm.
and action, I-O-N.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there, I talked about depression and a lot of the causes of depression and tied it together, and it turned out really well. I have no idea where that came from. I call it spirit or God or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But those kinds of things happen.
Well, and I love the word inspiration because it's inspiring. It comes from being in spirit.
Yep.
So when you're inspired, you're in spirit. So I
well, you're in the action of it.
Right. You're just basically in action of all those things.
You know, and back to food, which is kind of an interesting tie-in with food. There's, you know, sometimes it's hard keeping up with the day-to-day things. I have to make a lot of the decisions about what to eat, and I don't make decisions, I make choices, because if I make a choice and I don't like it, I can always change my mind. We're decisions
mm-hmm.
we feel like we're stuck with. But the interesting mm-hmm. part about it is instead of looking at the chore of the cooking or the decision, I look at the gratitude of having the ability to select the food I eat and being able to have it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that there's a big difference. And a lot of times our attitudes towards some of these seemingly mundane and routine things have a tendency we slip into taking it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Just like food, just like soup mm-hmm. being made with love.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's,
well,
I mean,
that's what it's like, you know, it's at the heart of every meal should be the love and just sweetness of the people who put it there, knowing that it was going to be serving on so many levels and feeding the soul. There you go.
Yeah.
So we've got a minute left, guys. That was really fast half hour with Miss Marvin jumping on the call. So thank you so much for calling in, and thank you, Mr. Jamie, for hanging out for the whole meal. It was a lot of jumping around and having a good conversation with everything. So
I'm sorry I was late, but I certainly enjoyed dessert. You two are awesome to be with.
Well, we will see you next week then.
You bet.
Okay.
Have
thank
a good
you,
one.
And
Robin, I'll talk to you sometime during the week then too.
Okay, that sounds really great.
All right,
everybody.
Good
being
night.
On the call, and have a great night.
All right, good night.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again, travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.